Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 27, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
For April 17th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Mr. Mihawk. That is courtesy of Jack Holman, a fellow Jack.
So what does that make you?
He knows, Jack Mihawk. Yep. Yeah, we both
Idiot.
Grew up with it.
Fell for it.
One of my favorite memories from growing up is... that old bit. Mr. Jack Holman, I feel for you. And I am fine to be joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
You know, they always ask me, Miles, can you please stop smoking la-la? Jack, why try? I'm a thug. I'm a daha. Okay? Shout out to Mace. Mason Betha from Harlem. One of my favorite rappers of all time. That AK comes to us from the one and only Christy Yamaguchi Main.
That's a great Twitter.
Amazing display name. The handle is actually at Crispy Meme Donut. Okay. So either way, it's a pun-filled adventure.
H-A-W-A-I-I. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian, writer, actor, performer, Mr. Adam Luster!
Thank you for having me back, guys. Ever since I was last here, I've just been awake, standing, just
waiting for the call.
Waiting for the call, so I really appreciate being back.
Yep. Just in a dark closet.
Dark.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I called the cops on you last week. I thought you were someone breaking into the building.
I wish you had.
I really did. I was like, yo, he's pacing outside the door, officer. Can you do something?
Yeah.
You're healing nicely, though.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. And plus, they arrested both of us. So I was like, I'm the dude who called. They're like, nah, I don't believe it. But we're all good now.
Yeah.
Adam, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I think something that I've searched recently is, could I pull off a onesie? So I bought kind of a flight suit recently. I don't know if you guys are both very stylish. I don't know if you've sort of hopped on this trend of like the male romper that was like 18 news cycles ago, obviously.
The romp him.
Right. But I'm talking about, this is like a proper flight suit, sort of really makes me feel kind of military and like a bomber pilot. But I feel self-conscious wearing it out. My wife... The boss. Mm-hmm. You know,
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Spouses. Told you how it is back at home for me. Okay. I mean, Her Majesty doesn't want me wearing soccer jerseys after dinner, you know, bro.
Happy marriages are the worst.
But I'm not even married, bro. Yeah.
But my wife Maggie has been telling me, really encouraging me, pushing me to take bold risks, fashion risks.
There you go.
She says that the other side of the patriarchy is that men feel hemmed in and they feel like they can't take big, bold fashion swings.
No, totally.
So I want to be the kind of guy that can lead by example and wear this onesie out, but I feel self-conscious. So I've been Googling, could I pull this off, Google? Almost referring to Google as my personal diary.
Yeah, and as if Google has already seen you and then can compare that with your own...
using Google correctly.
Yeah. Now, so the flight suit is like a legit military flight suit?
Yeah, it's nice. It's like a big navy blue, sort of a big one piece with like nice sturdy buttons, and it kind of feels like Vietnam era.
Okay, all right.
But it feels like proper military flight suit, yeah.
And you've always been a fan of America's work in Vietnam, right?
You know me.
We didn't say your AKA Agent Orange.
Adam Agent Orange Lustig. Yeah. But anyway, so I highly recommend
long legged.
Like, I want to say a 3/4 sleeve.
Oh, interesting.
Leggings all the way down, full situation. It's a bit of a complicated idea if you have to sort of urinate, and it takes a little bit of there's an extra step involved.
Does it have a butt flap?
It has no butt flap.
No potty flap.
But if you guys wanted to hop on board, then maybe the three of us could
look like interracial Beastie Boys.
That's what I was kind of hoping for.
Works is like that.
That's why I came today.
My wife's best friend has a similar thing, and I always make fun of her every time she wears it, and I secretly think it's super cool. So
Even if people
give you shit.
All right, whoever makes that flight suit, holler at us, and maybe we could get a little endorsement deal going.
Exactly, there you go.
And, you know,
Daily Zeitgeist flight suits.
Official uniform of the Zeitgeist.
Exactly.
A Zeit suit?
Zeit flight suits?
Yeah.
There were Zoot suits, now there's Zeit
suits. Okay.
Exactly. Adam, what is something besides just casually wearing flight suits that is underrated?
Okay, I made a trip home recently. I'm from upstate New York, and I just want to give an obvious, very sort of cliched shout out to mid-sized airports. Albany airports, smaller, deliberately small, humble airports.
Right.
I feel like as someone who's lived in New York City and Los Angeles for the majority of my adult life.
Enough to brag.
brag. So I'm almost, yeah. So
Mr. International.
Yeah, exactly. Bi-coastal. JFK and LAX are horrible cities. They're like the worst cities I've ever visited.
Yes.
And so it was nice. Like the Albany Airport is very, very chill. There's like two gates. There's like a very like relaxed Hudson Valley architecture exhibit there. Like the art in these mid-sized airports, but I feel like it's kind of elevated.
Yeah.
And that in New York and LA, they don't, in these big cities, they don't feel the need to like impress you with the airport, with like the interior of the airport. Like you're in the city. You're not here to see LAX.
Yeah, they're like, fuck you, you're here. We got more people coming in. Get the fuck out.
Exactly. Yeah. But I feel like small towns like Albany really put a lot of like TLC into airport
Albany's
decor.
No small town now.
You're right. That's right. That's
Before the Albany Zeit Gang comes at you. I remember when Jack called Ottawa a town.
Uh-oh.
Right.
And motherfucker.
Like, it is the capital of Canada.
The Maple Hive came out for him. Came for his neck.
The Maple Hive.
But you know, airports are like, the Eugene Airport is like that
too. Is it nice?
Where it's like, that was one of my first moments. I'm like, I like this small airport.
Yeah.
There's no hassle in it.
No hassle.
You're there, you're in, you're out. Also, got to shout out the Vancouver airport.
Is it nice?
YVR up there in
Canada.
Woo!
Is it good?
My man, they just run a tight ship up there. It's so clean. It's so beautiful. And they got the Japanese hot dog cart outside. I'm just loving it.
What's Japanese about the hot dog cart?
The Oki dog?
Oh, the Oki dog. Yeah. Yep, cool.
What is the art installation at the Albany?
I'm sorry. It's not Oki Dog. It's the Japadog up there in
Vancouver.
Yeah.
That seems offensive to me for some reason.
Well, luckily, the Japanese people are running in, so I can't really puff my chest at them because I came in there speaking Japanese and they're like,
were down. It's almost like there's a racist phrase that is Japa something.
Yeah. Right.
They know that I don't know
that we don't
that
know.
It's a play on.
But that's a Japanese person just thinking like, oh, Japanese hot dog. Japadog.
Exactly. And it's almost like if a racist tree falls in the forest and we're not here to see it, is it racist?
Do
we if we don't know about it? Yeah.
Jury's out.
But the art in the Albany airport was like, because Albany's in the Hudson Valley, there's all these like beautiful sort of log-ish, cabin-y, Adirondack-y type homes. And it was just this cool exhibit that was sort of flattened out 2D artist renderings of like these cool Adirondack-y Hudson Valley wood log homes.
Oh, cool.
It was just kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I know I sound like a 68-year-old man saying that, but...
Yeah. That would be a dope podcast where we take little flights... And rank the little airports of America.
Little flights.
Yeah.
Little flights.
Yeah, yeah. With Adam and Miles.
I forget where it was. It was at a major airport. Maybe it was LAX, where I saw like a piece of art and I was like, you know, if that wasn't in a major airport, I would think it was cool.
Yeah.
But because of like the context and everyone's just aggressively unhappy, I hate it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And in those huge airports, everyone is miserable. It is a misery stew, as it should be. But these small airports are like, oh, I get why flying is nice.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I
think, you know, that's funny because I think my dad has an art piece at LAX.
Oh, really?
Him or my stepmom does for
that's
sure.
That's pretty cool.
They have, so you may have been talking. Was it like a moving video thing, like having to do with film and stuff?
No. It was just like... birds. It was like a sculpture made of birds.
Oh, no, that's bullshit, man.
Yeah.
I think you were just outside.
I don't know.
A sculpture made of birds tweeting.
Could have been
sunshine. Also how I describe nature.
I don't know. My dad probably listens, so let me know if I fucked up.
Yeah,
Adam, what is something that's overrated?
Okay, overrated. So I'm going to say, just sort of based on the news of the week, I'm going to say just being tall. I feel like tall people get a lot of instant cred and like they assume instant authority and like there is like this strong implicit bias. I'm sure like the Nate Silvers of the world have done countless studies about like how tall people get everything they want. Mm-hmm. But like this James Comey thing, I'll tell you, dude's 6'8", but and The Onion put out a funny headline yesterday that was like, James Comey, I'm just like a messy bitch from New Jersey who lives for drama.
Yeah.
And like the truth is like, he kind of is.
Yeah.
Like he kind of a little bit is that, even though he's like a 6'8", like sort of statuesque, tall ass dude,
he is
a broken, sensitive, insecure,
messy
little bitch from New Jersey who lives for drama.
Yeah.
Like, that's true. And just because you're 6'8" doesn't mean you're not messy.
Yeah,
that's all.
Right. Oh, he's messy.
Yeah.
Especially
he's
when he was like,
messy.
And it's like Trump's tie, which is long, overly, like more long than it should have been.
Exactly.
Anyway. Too long.
As normal. As usual.
As usual, too long.
Little white half moons under his
snarking
eyes.
Snarking at his eyes.
Which I'm assuming are from tanning goggles.
Okay, buddy.
All right, man.
Just because you live in a house with like your wife and daughters are like, you fucked up Hillary's chance to be president.
Right,
exactly.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was damned if either way, so
that's
what
to
do.
And the other side of that coin is like, I almost empathize for tall men and like tall women
who are
like riddled with insecurities and just like a normal human being. Because again, this implicit bias just like comes baked into our culture that like tall is authoritative.
Yeah.
It's just sort of in our lizard brains. So I don't know. I kind of feel for him in a way, but also like tall people are weird. Tall people can be weird and sad and bad.
Think of Sean Bradley.
Think of Sean Bradley.
Oh, man.
If you want
to dunk on
all
day.
I'll step to Sean Bradley.
Exactly.
Like, that's a tall person. There is no bias.
Exactly.
You look like that one monster from Space Jam, motherfucker. Back up.
Exactly.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
Okay, I'm going to say that intergenerational living, I think, is maybe tabooed in this in America, like living with ma, living with abuela kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Mm. I love it. My wife and I have been living with our mother, her mother, my mother-in-law, here in Los Angeles for 6 years, and I have to tell you, it's the best.
Mm. Oh, really?
It's really, really great.
That's cool.
My relationship with my mother-in-law has only strengthened and deepened and become more nuanced and rich and enriching and nourishing and fulfilling. So I just want to say that, intergenerational living, and also, Miles and I were talking with this off mic, we're also looking to get our own house, obviously.
Yeah.
but there's something really, really wonderful about living with mom/dad, yeah. And I would recommend it to anyone. I know it's also like the millennial thing, we're all broken, like we all have to.
right.
A choice.
So make it a lifestyle choice.
Make it a lifestyle. Yeah.
Be like,
lean into
I
the pleasure
you.
Of it.
Yeah. That's what I used to tell, like, when I go on dates when I lived at my mom's house. I'd be like, yeah, you know, I just love my mom. You know, I don't want to stay with her. So that's why I live here.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's very common in other countries.
Countries, like Japan, the family is there. Like, there's no, it's like you're not leaving the house until you're married and you have a reason to leave the
that's
house.
That's understood. Yeah. That's like the base, that's the expectation.
Yeah. And also, when your parents get older, they're coming back.
You
take care of them.
No,
so.
I think my parents in law will probably move in with us eventually.
Right.
Yeah.
It's nice. I will be so happy when they do because they're awesome.
It is nice.
And we could use the babysitting.
Exactly.
Okay.
Geez.
Oh, now we find
now
out.
It's about babysitting. Yeah.
Oh, I'd love for them to be here. I mean, not because I want them to be babysitters, because I love them.
Yes. Yeah. I love them and their babysitting ability.
And their free time.
Gotta put them to work.
My favorite thing about them is their free time.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. We are trying to take a sample of what people are thinking and talking about right now, the national/global shared consciousness.
Yes.
And we wanted to start out with, they announced the Pulitzers recently. Something called the New York Times won a couple.
Never heard of it.
The New Yorker
failing
for some of their Harvey Weinstein reportage.
Ronan Farrow specifically,
right? Yes, Ronan Farrow specifically.
Nice.
NBC, whoops.
NBC, whoops, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
But in the music category, which I did not know there was a Pulitzer for music, they decided to give it to Kendrick Lamar for Damn.
Unbelievable. Hey! So cool.
Kung Fu Kenny.
So
Kung
cool.
Kung Fu Kenny got a Pulitzer.
Is it one of those things I ask out of ignorance, like where there is a music one every year and they have to give it, or it's like a Peabody,
there
where it's
is.
Like only when it's deserving?
There is, but usually it's like for more like academic forms of music.
Yeah. Let me read to you the description of last year's Pulitzer winner in the music category.
Great.
It is called Angel's Bone. It is an opera by composer Du Yun and librettist Royce Vavrick.
Great names.
In one act that follows the plight of two angels discovered on Earth who are forced into spiritual and sexual slavery at the hands of a financially troubled couple. The work is contemporary parable about human trafficking. So that is what they're normally giving it to.
Yep,
and
yep.
They listened to Damn and they were like, holy shit. Yeah.
This now.
This now.
They're like,
bonkers.
I don't remember anything from Angel's Bone, but I do remember my left stroke just went viral. And everybody knows that. I mean, it's amazing because before that, like people like Miles Davis and shit never even won these awards where sometimes they were giving them to jazz people and things like that. So he's the first rapper.
Yes.
I love the way they describe it because it just shows you how sort of academic this is.
Yeah.
They describe the album as a virtuosic song collection unified by its vernacular authenticity and rhythmic dynamism that offers affecting vignettes capturing the complexity of modern African-American life.
AKA full of bangers.
Yeah.
Full of bangers.
That shit slaps.
Yeah. It slaps.
Yeah.
And it's well played to him, and it's great because, you know, I think They're also mentioning in this article that, in 2017, the combined genres of R&B and hip-hop proved to be the most consumed music in the U.S. for the first time in history. So it's only natural that, of course, this might be a great work. And it's one of the – it is an amazing album.
Totally agree. Yeah. He's one of the poets and, I feel like, seers of our age. I also feel like a little bit – maybe this is just my album bias. I love To Pimp a Butterfly so much that I almost feel like this is a little bit like the Denzel Oscar for Training Day, where it's like more like we show – the To Pimp a Butterfly was really amazing. Like, let's give it to almost like not a real – a career achievement award because Kendrick's only 29 years old or whatever he is. But –
finally, he won
finally,
his Pulitzer.
Finally,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's amazing.
We'll
though.
Throw him a Pulitzer.
Yeah, exactly.
Congrats, Kendrick.
At the same time, Damn, it's pretty fucking good.
So good.
Like, and it is validate. Like, you know, so much internet journalism and analysis is done, like on Twitter, being like, you can listen to it backwards and it still works.
Right. Oh, really?
Like yeah, like it reverse song order.
Yeah.
And it like tells a story just like it does forward.
Yes.
But, you know, it's kind of validating to have the Pulitzer be like,
yeah,
you know, put it in those academic words,
yeah, right,
but basically
rarefied
say
air.
The same exact
right.
shit.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
yeah, if I was trying to explain to like some older academic people, I'd yeah. be like, it's actually this sort of virtuosic song collection
yes.
unified by its vernacular authenticity.
Yes.
Like, I do wonder how much of it is just like that rap genius exists now, and these people can like look at the lyrics
right.
and
dig
be like,
into the lyrics.
Holy shit, that meant five different things.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
wow, he has loyalty point, and royalty inside
right.
of this. deoxyribose yeah. nucleic
right.
acid.
Is this a science album?
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. It is Mike funny though. I feel a little weird though because like I think award shows are weird and like awards are. I just feel mixed feelings about feeling good and like I also feel like Kendrick is validated. Like there is a certain amount of objective validation. Like he's a Pulitzer now, but I resent a little bit the cultural framework and the paradigm that like awards are needed to validate
yeah.
someone's. But it's true. It just is true.
Yeah.
It feels good to be awarded and
feels good to be awarded,
to be acknowledged.
But yo, even if Kenny didn't win a
yeah.
Pulitzer, everybody would know he is by far head and shoulders beyond anybody
beyond.
Right now in
beyond.
Terms of like his lyricism.
No doubt about
it's,
it.
It's crazy.
Truth.
Also, Mike Pesca, who has another daily podcast, The Gist,
yeah.
Which isn't as good. You don't need to check it out. But he made a really good point that this also—
But he made a really good point.
Yeah, that I will summarize for you so you don't have to listen to
I mean, I don't know why I was listening to
no,
it.
No, he's actually really good, and you can totally listen to him. But he made the point that this is actually also Fox News' first and only Pulitzer because there's a quote from Geraldo Rivera on the Kendrick
oh,
Lamar
that's funny.
Album. So
that's so
you know,
funny.
That's the closest they've
Shout
gotten to
Fox.
The Pulitzer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Is that part where Geraldo Rivera is quoted as saying that rap music has done more to damage black youth than racism.
Right, right.
So
yes.
Cool, bro.
Good point. Good, really,
yeah.
really
strong
insightful,
point,
searing point.
And
yes.
you will go down forever as the dumbass who made it.
Oh, God.
So we also wanted to just touch on a great piece of theater put on by Adam Pally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Basically,
speaking of award shows.
Yeah, he yeah. shit on the world's worst award show that I didn't even know existed, something called The Shorty.
Right.
While presenting at the Shorty,
yes.
at the world's worst workshop.
Yes.
We have a couple of clips of him. It's like almost like he's having an existential like
yeah,
meltdown.
The
yeah,
because the Shorties are basically awards for like social media.
Right.
And like, you
branding.
Know, even branding
yeah.
and shit.
Yeah.
And I think it was just kind of funny where he's just sort of, as he's doing it, he's realizing how empty this whole thing is. It's like a Black Mirror episode
it
almost.
Is. Yeah.
Right? Like where he's like, I'm supposed to tell Wendy's their
Instagram is good.
Sick
yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah. I hate myself
right. yeah,
and computers.
Out.
Yeah.
This award honors those brands that have the best year-long presence on Instagram. So I'll be giving an award to a brand. Considering how many brands are putting all of their resources into Instagram, it's wildly impressive. Is it? Also. Remember that, winner that was up here saying that she was in college to be an engineer but dropped out to play video games? Don't do that.
That's good advice.
Thank you.
Some just
Absolutely.
English teacher
yeah,
who
exactly.
happens to be there.
Finally.
She thinks it worked out for her, but in 6 months, she will be trying to get back into that school. Because there will be a new video game that she doesn't know how to play. Tonight, we pay tribute to those.
This is later.
Who are not with us. We're going to do an in memoriam for a bunch of, I don't know, like MySpace or some shit. I don't know.
Just couldn't.
Finish this up.
And
then someone intervenes.
Yeah.
The whole like, we're going to finish this
insane.
Up.
It is really
but,
weird.
Yeah.
The GoPro guy came up and he's holding a GoPro on a stick and looks like a caricature of like a like a tech bro. Douche.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, thanks a lot for setting us up, bro.
Yeah. It's a tricky balance because, like, of course it's the worst. Of course, like, award shows for brands are, like, so innately hollow and weird and horrible. And, like, Wendy's, like, sick AF. Like, it's so obnoxious, right. Of course. But also, like, damn it. Like, Adam and I are peers. Like, we kind of came up together and used to be like, and now am I of the generation that's, like, the cranky old man? Like, get off my lawn. Like, these, what is this? These kids and their Instagram.
Well, not even like, that. I think objectively, it's just this dumb, like, let's pat ourselves on the back of quote-unquote award show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's funny to know, like, I wonder what happened that he agreed to do this maybe months ago, forgot he had to do it, was maybe having a bad day, and was like, you know what? I'm doing the sort of the cost-benefit analysis of, like, just self-immolating up here.
Yes.
And you know what? Fuck it. I don't care if I never do another Shorties Awards again.
Worth it. Yeah.
He's Adam Pally is from Happy Endings. Where would people know him from?
Happy Endings. He's also Happy the EP Endings. Of the President Show. He produces the President Show on Comedy Central. Yeah.
Just a really funny dude.
He's super hysterical.
Also had the best edition of the, what show was it that it he was, guest hosted?
Yes, this was great. And like the in-between, post-Craig Ferguson retiring, pre-James Corden coming on the show, they had like a string of guest late show hosts. And one of the better ones was Adam Pally and Ben Schwartz. As his sort of like Ed McMahon. Very, very funny. So Adam, I mean, he's so hysterical. Yeah. And obviously, this is so funny because it's like, amazing. What are these fucking,
he was the sane person in an insane world.
Yeah, right.
What the fuck
is like, this?
An in memoriam for Vine?
But it also doesn't feel very calculated. Like, I don't get the sense that he was back there like, yeah, fuck it. Like, I feel like he got up there and was like, all right, I'm going to just go through with this.
Yeah.
And like you can see him just sort of giving up as he reads teleprompter.
Well, I think he started off being like, I'm at the waiting in the DMV equivalent of award shows. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think that was scripted.
No,
I don't
think so either.
So I think he just came, you know, his first at bat, he's swinging for the stands of Spiceville.
It is a good point, Jack. It is fun and rewarding to see someone give up
in
real time, to watch it and like hear it in their voice and watch it in their body language.
Because how many of us are brave to rage quit like that?
Exactly.
Like, MySpace or some shit. Anyways.
Very funny.
And then just real quick, some late breaking news. Neil Gorsuch has broken liberal. The Supreme Court on Tuesday ruled that part of the federal law that makes it easier to deport immigrants convicted of crimes is too vague, which is a big blow to Trump and his sort of, this was
a xenophobic goblin.
Exactly. Yeah, this was considered a signature issue, and the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that Trump and his side were in the wrong.
Wow.
And Gorsuch, who was supposed to be
their guy,
you know, their conservative boy. Savior, the one who they held out to nominate, was like, nah.
Yeah.
So. Well, hey, maybe Merrick Garland just, you know, haunted him in his dream.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah,
guess what, motherfucker? You better do right. Yeah.
And it's also just such a testament to how evil the xenophobic goblin crew is that, like, Neil Gorsuch, like, bizarre 18th century wooden man, who, like, believes that, like, you know, is like, even that's a bridge too far for me, Neil Gorsuch.
It's been a theme this week, which we'll get into, too. There have been a few times where people who you thought were allies of this kind of thinking were even like,
that's too far.
This might be a little too far. Even for
people
me,
who were allies of that kind of thinking, like last week, being like, oh, this is not good.
A lot of inhaling through clenched teeth.
That's exactly right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Cool. We'll be right back. And we're back. And we wanted to talk about the raid that happened last week on Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's lawyer. Because it's sort of slowly dawning on us all of the ramifications that this has. And yesterday, Cohen and his lawyer had a day in court.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, there were a couple of surprises.
Fucking, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were basically in there begging the judge to be like, don't let the prosecutors look at whatever they took.
Yeah.
Right.
Can you promise us that, judge?
Yeah.
And the judge was like, no. Fuck out of here. No. What the fuck are you talking about? No.
Yeah.
I mean, but we maybe I'll entertain the idea of like a special master or something, I think is what she said, which was like a third party to look so that the prosecutors wouldn't see either or whatever. Whatever. Yeah, and there was also talks of
taint
teams about what communications are tainted or whatnot. Unfortunately, it's not about the perennial area. Is that what you call it? The perennium?
Yeah.
The taint itself?
Yeah.
Which perennial flowers? Look, I don't know. So here's the deal. I'm not a biologist, but what I am is someone who wildly speculates on a podcast about what things mean in court. So, well, one of the things was over the weekend, you know, the judge was like, you need to disclose who your clients are.
Yeah.
So we don't have an idea what's going on. So before they filed, he did disclose that Donald Trump and Elliot Broidy, who was the RNC fundraiser, yep, who also had a Playboy mistress
thing. That broke
thing,
last week.
That broke last
he
week.
He paid a
and there's
Playboy
another,
mistress $1.something million.
And then there's another Playboy bunny who's also saying she was involved with Trump
just
back in the day.
Playboy is involved is so 80s.
Right.
I can't believe how 80s
this
all is.
Trump is the most 80s.
1985.
It feels great to know that Jamie Loftus and I were both employed by Playboy at one point.
Were you? Oh, hell yeah.
Anyway, so... Yes, he had to disclose those two, and then they said, well, we're not going to say who the third one is.
Yeah.
And then,
because it would be embarrassing. Yeah.
Embarrassing. Yes. And right. Then the judge was like, that is not a valid legal excuse. To embarrassment is not a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So the judge says, who is it? Or like, why would it be embarrassing? And now here's where the lawyer could have written down on a piece of paper, slid it to the judge, and been like, there, do you see? And
DCY.
The judge could have been like, okay, let me take this under advisement,
yes,
and we'll like make a decision on it. Instead, the guy was like, no, but he'll be embarrassed because it's Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Out loud. And there was apparently an audible gasp in the courtroom. Everyone was like, whoa, holy shit.
Should have written it down, man.
Whereas like other attorneys who were being pundits were like, usually you would write
that
shit
down
and that would get at least give you a chance of it not
discretion,
coming out.
Discretion, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, it comes out as Sean Hannity, and again, the world was abuzz.
Yeah.
Right.
So now, let's think about when that news broke.
Yeah.
Let's see how Fox News covered this bombshell that one of their own, it might be caught up in
like
all of this
legally
shit.
Legally tied to all of the
all
crazy
of
shit that they've been like being like, no, nothing to see here
this
for a long time.
Yeah. So this is what happens when, this is I think the actual moment where they're breaking it on Fox News.
Jesus.
In today's proceedings that are underway right now, Stephen Ryan, one of Cohen's attorneys, was asked by the judge to specifically name the other name because they said it would not fall under attorney-client privilege to withhold that name. And he stood up and named him as Sean Hannity. So moving on. Back and forth filings over this issue since last night. Both Cohen.
I mean, yeah, just steamrolled past
that. Let's
just
gloss right over that.
And I like how she goes, doesn't even go, and it was Sean Hannity, was named as
Sean Hannity.
Moving on.
Right. Not saying that's our Sean Hannity, just a Sean Hannity.
Was named as Sean Hannity.
Like, that's how a cartoon would write that.
Yes, exactly.
Like, immediately after saying, moving on.
Moving on. Our aunt's giving you cancer.
Like, exactly.
We fear, yes.
Yes. Now, gosh, it just gives you so many ideas. Like, what does this mean? Does Sean kill someone?
Yeah.
Was he trying to figure out what he can legally lie about when he spreads lies about the DNC?
Yes, exactly.
The DNC and WikiLeaks and people getting murdered over leaked emails and bullshit conspiracies? Or did he have a love child with Cardi B? We don't know. I mean, we're getting involved with Michael Cohen could mean so many things.
Yeah.
But again, Sean Hannity was very quick to distance himself because he knows how his reputation stinks.
Oh, God.
So I think on Anderson Cooper, young Coop comes through, flames old Sean by like, just, I mean, just listen
so
to
this. So we hear Hannity describing their relationship on his radio show, and then we hear Anderson Cooper's summary of that explanation.
I've known Michael a long, long time.
This is Hannity.
And let me be very clear to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Michael never represented me in any matter.
Uh-huh.
I never retained him in the traditional sense as retaining a lawyer. I never received an invoice from Michael. I never paid legal fees to Michael.
Right.
But I have occasionally had brief discussions with him about legal questions about which I wanted his input and perspective.
Yeah, just at the bar.
And I assume that those conversations were attorney-client confidential.
So he seems to be saying, I was not really a client of attorney Michael Cohen's, but our conversations are confidential because he is an attorney and I am his client.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
That's so good.
Exactly.
Wow.
You can't have it all ways, Sean.
Yeah.
You can't have it all ways.
It's crazy when that skewed logic well starts to run dry for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Occam's razor thing is like, which Playboy model did he impregnate? I mean, that's like the Occam's razor, like what he's trying to, whatever.
It seems to be Cohen's specialty.
Yes, exactly.
It's just so bizarre because, I mean, if it really was about just brief advice, you'd imagine Sean Hannity actually has access to much better legal opinions
than sleazy-ass Michael Cohen.
And someone who currently has the actual title of worst fucking lawyer in America.
That's right.
Like, so it's weird. And another thing is clearly, like, there has to be something there, right? If the whole point was them trying to be like, he's an attorney, yes, and you probably have things that affect my client or having to deal with my client.
Yes.
Not just, yo, I used to just, you know, I don't know, we just shoot the shit, smoke some cigars, yeah, exactly. And he would be like, hey, man, can I lie about this person getting murdered because like, of the right. WikiLeaks and shit like yeah. that? Or like, hey, Julian Assange told me to say this. Can you tell this to Trump?
Yeah.
Is he being a middleman yeah, exactly. between, like, you know, there's so many
vagaries
questions yeah, right. that we do not right. know. But what's
we
great,
don't
yeah,
know yet.
Michael yeah. Cohen's lawyer standing up, and I mean, just you describing the moment, Jack, and like there were gasps in the courtroom, and it was right. like this dramatic reveal right. of the third name. It's just like one of the other horrible like consequences of this Trump horseshit. It's just like everyone does feel compelled to sort of get their 15 minutes, or more accurately, 15 seconds, right. like in the public spotlight. Even this lawyer, like right. Michael Cohen's lawyer, was like, I could write it down and be discreet about it, but you know what? Let me take stage and right. like I'll be the story.
Dramatic.
For the,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
And there like, are some people who have speculated that this could be just a big dog and pony show
yeah.
to be like, oh, get Hannity's name out there. But
and we'll forget that the president is the actual yeah, focus
I
of
guess.
The investigation.
But either way, like based on how he was making excuses, I doubt that. Another person, I forget who it was on NBC, was saying that technically if Michael Cohen did write down a memoranda or something based yeah. on a conversation he had, that he could be a client technically, and yeah. Sean Hannity might not be aware of that.
Yes.
But either, I mean,
still,
this thing just smells like a whole pile of horseshit.
Yeah. Sean Hannity is, I mean, like, I loathe him, obviously. He's so loathsome. But in, like, in another light, like, in my more, like, compassionate, if I really, like, exercise all my compassion, he is, like, truly, like, Arthur Miller tragic. There's something so deeply tragic about Sean Hannity. Like, he has sacrificed his whole... all of his credit, his personal credibility, his moral compass in the last year and a half or 2 years for Donald Trump. And the only thing he has to show for it is also going to prison, probably. Right. And it's like, it's sad. It's deeply, yeah. deeply tragic.
Yeah.
But like, I have no, I shed no tears.
Like
for him,
when
obviously.
This film comes out, oh. it's going to be like him barking at his desk, someone playing Sean Hannity, and it's going to be a hard cut to him in prison with his celly just holding him from behind.
Exactly.
Him,
right? Go to sleep, Sean. So sad.
I don't know. I don't
it's
know.
So sad.
There's going to be such a good, like, mini series on FX. In 25
oh,
years,
yes, exactly.
like the People versus O.J. Simpson
exactly.
of this.
We should just start writing this now.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fuck it.
Yeah. So I think he made reference to attorney-client privilege.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. He said it a weird way. What do you call it? Like attorney-client?
Confidentiality.
Confidentiality.
Yeah. Confidentiality.
All right. Yeah.
So we had mentioned last week that Michael Cohen has sort of a Saul Goodman vibe. And,
right. Yeah, he does.
So Hannity actually told listeners Monday afternoon, I might have handed him, Cohen, $10. I definitely want your attorney-client privilege on this. Something like that. So that is actually directly from Breaking Bad. This is a
That's
misconception
right.
started by Breaking Bad, where Saul Goodman is like, put a dollar in my pocket. That way I'm your attorney,
right.
you're my client. That is a scene from Breaking Bad.
Holy shit.
And they literally are just like, okay, so basically I'm Walter White, you're Saul Goodman,
yeah. Yeah.
let's play act this thing,
yeah.
except we're talking about real crimes we did.
Yeah. It's funny to aspire to the crime. It's just like, we should do it like they do on Breaking
yeah,
Bad.
Yeah,
so the way
yeah.
to actually establish attorney-client privilege is to, you know, publicly or, you know, say to the police, he is my attorney, mm-hmm. I am his client, therefore, ergo, it's not putting a dollar in somebody's pocket, it's
right.
just establishing that.
That is our relationship.
Right,
yes.
And Hannity has kind of torpedoed his ability to do that by now coming out and being like, we're not really attorney clients. Like,
yeah.
he was never, and just basically laying out all the way somebody can be somebody's attorney and client and saying that wasn't the nature of their relationship.
Yeah.
But let's listen to how an actual legal expert would tell Sean.
Well, right. So yesterday on Hannity, he got his favorite legal experts on, one of them being Alan Dershowitz,
oh,
who up to this point has okayed every single bizarre idea and theory that Sean Hannity has had about
yes.
the law,
yes.
Was willing to play devil's advocate for everything. Even Alan Dershowitz, like we said, had a moment where he was like, bro, you know, last week when the FBI raided Michael Cohen's office, you were out here being like, hey, man, he's an innocent man. This is total bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And
right.
you didn't say that you were.
Maybe should have mentioned it. Maybe
right.
should have mentioned it. Yeah.
Right. So this is Alan Dershowitz even being like, bro, I can only be crazy to
yeah.
a point.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, first of all, Sean, I do want to say that I really think that you should have disclosed your relationship with Cohen when you talked about him on this show. You could have said just that you had asked him for advice or whatever. But I think it would have been much, much better had you disclosed that relationship. You were in a difficult situation,
obviously. If you
understand
the nature of it, Professor, I'm going to deal with this later in the show.
I understand.
It was minimal. I put out a statement about it.
You should have said that. And that would have been fair to say that it was minimal.
Look, you were in a tough position
because, A, you had to talk about Cohen, and, B, you didn't want the fact that you had spoken to him to be revealed. And you had the right, by the way, not to have your identity
I have the right to privacy.
Right.
But,
you know, it's a complex situation when you're speaking to millions of people.
Professor, it was such a minor relationship in terms of it had to do with real estate and nothing political.
I understand that.
Right. At the same time, if it was so minor, why didn't you want that? Why didn't you want that out there?
You don't even get it, Dad.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
It was so small. Like, it's not like what, sure, on paper, I should have done that, but you don't know,
Dad.
Just
a real estate thing. I was like, what's the best real estate property to bury a body? It's just a little real estate, not a big deal.
Yeah, I love how Dershowitz is still even just being like, I know.
Yeah, you should have said it.
You still should have said it.
Exactly.
I know.
I like that Dershowitz not backing down on that point.
And poor Michael Cohen, you just imagine Michael Cohen watching this and be like, Sean, like, I thought we had something. Like, we're just friends. Like, you imagine him just like a scorned lover. Like, I thought we were.
Yeah, what was all
I thought we were attorney client. Like,
dude, we had those. We bought those matching Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, again, this is another thing where I think we talk about on the show. Like, this is like a cultural myth, I think, that people have been sort of taking in from film and TV about even like these mob films.
Yes.
That the lawyer somehow holds all the secrets, is impenetrable. And is above the law in some way. Like, he's like Melvoin in The Sopranos.
That's right. Robert Duvall in The Godfather Consigliere. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Michael Cohen specifically refers to himself as Consigliere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, exactly. Like, these people.
What's a myth
are
that you know to be true? Or
mob lawyers work.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But this is what happens when you elect an actual. I mean, that's the thing about this. He is a crime boss. Like, Comey telling Stephanopoulos, he's like, kind of treated like the dinners with Trump were like very mafioso-y. And like, you pledge your loyalty to the ring, you kiss the ring. Right. And, like, that one weird moment where Trump on TV made a gesture of walking over to Comey and hugging him. Like, all these weird mafia tactics of intimidation.
He's like, you're a made guy now.
Exactly.
I know it was you, James.
Yeah. And, like, you know that Trump is so dumb and television addled. Like, his ideas of status and power probably literally are from The Godfather.
Yeah,
right. Literally.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, those are his points of status reference. So we're just seeing this, like, sad, pathetic TV addled brain.
And again, Roy Cohn, one of his first lawyers, is the notorious mob lawyer and McCarthy lawyer. So, like,
it goes back to that great tweet that this is not a government-run media. This is a media-run government.
Precisely right.
It's just
precisely right.
All bullshit media myths. And, you know, even the attack on Syria happens when some devastating footage shows up on Fox News.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, ooh, spooky.
So there's actually this New Yorker article that just kind of puts all of this in perspective from Adam Davidson, the less important Adam. Where he talks about, he puts this in the context, the article, by the way, is salaciously called something like the end stages of the Trump presidency, which
sounds like a little bit like liberal fantasy.
Right,
Hey, but we got to get those clicks.
Exactly.
So his point, and it's sort of an impressionist piece of journalism in the sense that he's writing it from his perspective as a journalist who has lived through two other things.
Yep.
That this experience reminds him of. He was on the ground in Baghdad when Bush was standing in front of that giant mission accomplished banner, which I was noticing earlier today in the office. It's like the ugliest banner. It's like
just
designed
from an aesthetic
in MS
point of view.
Paint. It's so weird. Like, it's like such a shitty pixelated flag in the background. But the size of it, like, it has to be the size of the Hollywood sign. Oh, so, like, they just, like, did it on a Word doc and then were like, here, print this up. And
just stretch it the fuck out, however big you need it to be.
Yeah. Anyways, Adam Davidson
this thing isn't rasterized.
Right. Exactly. It wasn't rasterized.
Can you give me a fucking vector image? What the fuck, bro?
Davidson was on the ground in Baghdad when that was happening, and he was talking to people. So he knew ahead of the rest of the country and the public that that was bullshit. This thing was way worse than anybody thought it was.
Right.
He was also reporting on the financial crisis when that was slowly unfolding.
Yes.
And he, you know, even puts it, he was trying to get it through his thick skull that this was actually going in a really bad direction.
Catastrophic.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, he said that he finally realized it and, like, what those loans actually were, what those financial products were, and that they were about to explode and everybody, and that the global economy was going to be fucked for a little while.
Right.
And he said that at that time, you turned on the TV on MSNBC or CNBC, and people were like, okay, well, the worst of it's behind us,
right,
guys.
Exactly.
And this is like, we're headed in the right direction. So he's saying that's a thing where the preponderance of evidence he had access to told him things are way worse than people realize, and this is just the early stages, and we're about to find out how bad things are.
Yes.
It's just going to slowly come out. And he's saying that now that Cohen's offices have been raided, he knows that that is the future of the Trump presidency.
Right.
Like before, when it was just Mueller looking into whether there was Russian collusion, he was like, it could have gone either way, because he's like, collusion doesn't really make sense for Trump because it involves a lot of foresight and like patience.
Yes. And I'm like diabolical planning that he is not capable of. He's not mentally fit to execute.
So he was like, you know, it could really go either way. But the one thing he does know, based on a lot of reporting and everybody he works with at The New Yorker doing loads of reporting on the Trump organization, is that they are a criminal organization that has been doing crime in New York
40
years. For years.
Yes.
There's, you know, he talks about this Soho Trump project where Ivanka and Don Jr. are essentially on email saying, man, I hope nobody finds out about these crimes that we're doing. Like literally,
like literally?
On email. Yes. Yeah. He basically thinks Ivanka has a very high chance of getting arrested. Don Jr. has a high chance of getting arrested. Like there is just loads and loads of white collar crime happening.
That both does and doesn't have to do with Russian collusion. You know what I mean? It's like that Russian collusion has been the narrative right now. Like, oh, this is the thing that's going to sink Trump. And I think this is what really resonated with me about the article was just his thing of like the way that narratives change. And like I was in the like the Iraq narrative was like, we did it. Mission accomplished. It's over.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm there and like it's far from over. Like that's a weird narrative to be under, to be like taken as.
They're like, are you actually here?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And like, so I get what he's saying about this Trump thing. It's like, okay, this Michael Cohen being raided, everything, the truth will hopefully come out. We will learn about the 40 years of gangsterization of the way he runs his real estate business, just like crimes and sex crimes and illegitimate children everywhere. And that will become the dominant narrative. And his presidency will fit into this larger narrative of 40 years of a crooked life that he's living. The thing that bums me out is that, and sorry if this sounds arrogant, but didn't we all know that before? I mean, like,
all the reports that he's referencing have been out there.
There are like 900 documentaries about
this. I am unaware of anybody who has taken a serious look at Trump's business who doesn't believe that there is a high likelihood of rampant criminality.
Exactly.
And then he goes on to list like five really clear-cut things. In Azerbaijan, he did business with a likely money launderer for Iran's Revolutionary Guard.
Yeah.
That, like, there's five other things, and he's like, those are just the really obvious ones.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, they are really in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Donald and Ivanka were investigated for financial crimes associated with Trump Hotel in Soho, and then there's an older article where, there's just all these emails where they're basically, there was no doubt that the Trump children approved, knew of, agreed to, and intentionally inflated the numbers of the building to make more sales.
To me, it was almost the dumb fucking reality show, The Apprentice, that changed the narrative. It's like, I feel like from the 80s up until The Apprentice, the dominant narrative about Trump was that he was America's favorite crook. That was the whole, that was his whole thing.
Well, he was like a fake-ass businessman.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was a fake-ass crooked businessman, and that was like, we put up with him because he has hair, and like, he's a little funny, so we put up with him.
Right.
Yeah. And then, like, The Apprentice came along, and I think maybe people, maybe in the flyover states, not to be condescending, but people maybe were like, oh, he's a legitimate mogul. Like, that man. And really know that he's the King Midas. Everything he touches turned to gold.
That's not a set decorator creating this mystique around him for a visual effect. That's,
But I thought him as a crooked person was always the narrative. But I guess this article sort of highlights how, to me, one of my takeaways was like how easily narratives can just flip and sort of, all this preponderance of evidence can just be sort of shuffled aside. And now it's he's the president with collusion.
TV
and now
it's is insanely
TV's
powerful.
Insane, man.
Yeah.
Insanely
I mean, look,
powerful.
It has all these people, even lawyers, thinking attorney-client privilege exists, but it fucking doesn't.
Breaking Bad.
So basically his summary is that the narrative that will become widely understood is that Donald Trump did not sit atop a global empire. He had a small, sad global operation, mostly run by his two oldest children and Michael Cohen.
Yeah.
And
very King Lear.
It was not a company that built value over decades.
Right.
It burned through whatever goodwill and brand value it established as
quickly
as possible. It basically, after he like bankrupted his fifth casino, people were like, we're not giving you money anymore.
That's
man.
Right.
And so he had to get all his money from foreign money launderers.
Russia.
And he's been doing business with foreign money launderers, and like he put it in this Crooked Media interview I heard. He was like, he's not even going with like the first moguls that people yes. would do business with, that yes. corrupt people would do business with. It's like the third B&C tier, the wow. third tier moguls like, in the countries that like you would go to fifth.
Yes.
Like Azerbaijan is not the first place right. you yes. go to.
And yes. even there, you're dealing with the tertiary scumbags.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Whee!
Yeah. Like I guess that is the point though. Like it's all about context. Like the collusion thing, I guess his point, which I hope and pray and believe is true, is that like the Russian collusion thing will, in a year, when now that we know everything and Cohen's been raided, we see all the documents, the Russian collusion fixing, swinging the election, Putin hacking Facebook will fit into just a much larger context of Trump being a bankrupt asshole, a scumbag real estate guy who had to go to Russia and the Ukraine and all these other shady B and C level moguls for money, and that the collusion thing will fit into that narrative.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if it's not right. active collusion on his part, like just the idea that he is compromised, that they oh, yeah. have something well, on him.
Yeah. I think above and beyond anything that Robert Mueller could dig up, P-tape or not, I mean, like, that's what's the most frightening thing, because yeah. on Sunday you had Nikki Haley saying, oh, we're going to sanction Russia. Go get, just get ready.
Yes.
Steve Mnuchin will be unleashing the sanctions.
Yes.
And then cut to yesterday, threw her ass under the bus. We'll be thinking about
how it. About that, right. like, man?
Yeah. We can't and even... that happened last week. We did put like harsher sanctions on Russia after the assassination a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Than London. The UK and
yeah. attempt.
France. Yeah. And he was furious. He
yeah.
was like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
those are the homies.
So oh, this God. Guy, I mean, he's not even consistent with where he's at with, I mean, we all know this. Anyway,
yeah.
it's only Tuesday. It's Let's see what the fuck. I'm telling you, by Friday, what the fuck are we going to be talking yeah, about?
Seriously. Yeah.
I don't know. And I probably believe Sean Hannity, he might have a tape with Cardi B or something. I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. yes.
You're really shipping Cardi B and Sean
Hannity.
Yeah.
yeah.
Very, very interesting.
I love it.
Your taste in celebrity couples. Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And during the break, we just had a great moment where super producer Anna Hosnier mm-hmm. was like, I just don't, why did they run for president?
They
like,
did all these crimes. Because again,
yeah.
I don't think they ever wanted to be in the White House.
Right. Right.
Trump was doing a setup movie. If you remember, he was like, well, I'm going to do Trump TV.
Definitely.
After this. And he was like, oh shit, I got a whole other business I'm about to set up. I'm going to have all these fucking fans magging out, buying my shit. Cut to people in the Kremlin being like, ain't no fucking way Hillary Clinton's gonna be president. Do whatever the fuck you have to make sure this other dude is in there who we have a pee-pee tape or whatever
exactly.
the fuck on. And
be
now
what you wish for, Donnie.
Who knows?
And even if they didn't swing
yeah.
the election, I still just don't think that Trump has control over his own faculties. He is completely driven by his ego.
Yes.
Just 100%. He has debilitating narcissism.
Yes, sir.
And so, like,
yes, sir.
He can't plan ahead.
Russians, if you don't want to believe that Russia may have had zero net effect on the election,
yeah.
I think what we can all agree on is Trump probably never wanted to actually be the president
ever.
Of the United States.
There is reporting
from inside his Situation Room on election night, as they realize that he is becoming the president, where his face goes ashen, and I think Melania is openly weeping. His family is taking it as a fucking tragedy.
It is.
Like, and then Bannon says specifically that, like, you slowly see him convince himself that he can do the job
oh.
over the course of the night.
It's fine. I'll pardon myself.
Yeah.
oh, jeez.
Pardon the interruptions, my favorite show. I fast forward through all the interruptions. Anyway, so, yeah.
All right. We wanted to bang through a handful of quick updates.
Great.
Kanye is back tweeting.
Yeah.
Saying
Amazingly.
Profound shit.
That's good.
Profound?
But yeah, profound.
Profound-ish.
Does this inevitably mean he has an album coming out? Is that what we're meant to
Well,
understand?
He does have an album come out that we suspect he is recording
okay.
in
Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Oh, that's cool.
It's going to be a country album.
So far, from 2 hours ago, he tweeted, as a creative, your ideas are your strongest form of currency.
Yes, sir.
You have to protect your ability to create at all costs. Try to avoid any contractual situation where you are held back from your ideas. Distraction is the enemy of vision. Sometimes you have to get rid of everything. Everything you do in life stems from either fear or love. Fear often causes people to be manipulative. Be transparent as possible. Stop setting plays. Stop playing chess with life. Make decisions based on love, not fear. Been reworking the production shape on these rat boots for 6 months. I'm super happy with them. I'm excited about the ability to give a boot a true Yeezy shape. Feels more future.
Oh.
So
He kind of had a little
he's
run
all over the place. Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
That hiking boot looks like a janky ass boot from like Big Five you'd buy for hiking.
I definitely
hiking.
Really? Am not liking his shoes as much as I used to. Like the new shoes that he's releasing are kind of
so dad shoe.
Really?
I'm not,
really?
I'm not with the whole dad shoe.
He's a dad now.
Thing.
He's a dad.
Yeah,
I suspect.
But they look like the sneakers that like your gym teacher wore in the early '90s.
Yeah,
exactly. I thought they were like Sauconys or like Avia shoes.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. If all this means he has an album coming up, then.
We're here
power
for
to
it.
Him.
Yes, exactly.
I want to hear new
but
Kanye
you can
music.
Tell, when I look at this, I feel like he's explaining why he never won a Pulitzer, in his first things, right?
Oh,
like,
that's what you think.
Yes, where he's like, sometimes, if distraction is the enemy of vision. Try to avoid any control. Like, especially says where you're held back from your ideas.
Interesting.
Because Kendrick is being, like, praised for his originality and ingenuity and his honesty. I don't know. It's just like, you haven't tweeted in a long time. If it has been, it's been about like boot pictures. So.
Yeah.
There is 0% chance that he doesn't think that he should have gotten a Pulitzer.
Correct.
Kendrick
correct. Absolutely. Correct.
Everybody in that entourage, they're having to be like, yes,
you,
Kanye. That, yeah, they are tripping, man.
Should have been you, Yay. They should have been you, man.
Drake also released the name of his new album that's coming in June called Scorpion.
Scorpion. Okay.
Nice mouth. Yeah. That was very good. I could not do it.
It's a real life Foley artist here in the studio.
Another quick update. Cardi B apparently had a wild performance at Coachella to the point.
We didn't talk about that, but
that she's actually losing money.
Cardi. I mean, look, Cardi is the queen right now. Definitely. She's got one of the hot, craziest albums out right now. I think she broke crazy streaming records with the Invasion of Privacy. But yeah, we found out there's some reporting, people kind of crunching the numbers. It turns out that like her set could cost as much as $460,000, her Coachella set, is like very elaborate. The show is crazy.
I bet.
But that's for one weekend. She still has another weekend up.
Yeah.
They say in the lower end, it could cost maybe $300,000 for the stage to be erected.
Oh, my goodness.
And her fee for playing Coachella is only $70,000.
Got it. Damn. She's a little bit in the red there.
Yeah,
she's a little bit in the red for Coachella.
Yeah, hold on, let me finish this math. You're right.
You're in the red.
That does not equal out. That's not good.
Nearly, four times less. Yeah. But
you could just view it as a marketing expense.
100%.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not like she's gonna go. I mean,
she'll
she's fucking on top of the world. You know, she's like, we're gonna fucking spend $300,000. Do you?
Exactly.
Because the show was amazing.
Yes.
Although I saw one hilarious tweet about like the reaction of Cardi's obstetrician, OBGYN, right now. And it was like a confused gif of like, wow, you're twerking fully pregnant. But hey, don't let that stop you because
this is your second trimester, huh?
Everybody is loving it.
Yeah, exactly.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I also like to think that her second weekend, they scale way back. It's just like, we're just going to do sort of an unplugged acoustic thing. You know, set.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe
she
less
read
dancers.
That article, too.
Yeah, she's like, damn, that's what it costs?
Ooh.
Yeah, because the festival, Coachella, is not covering a dime of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. They're like, we'll let you perform here. If you want to dress that shit up, that is
that's on you. Exactly.
Yeah. But I think also, too, thing to consider, a lot of people are like, why is she only getting $70,000 considering where she's at? You have to imagine she was probably booked at the end of last summer or fall, early fall last year.
That's
so
right.
Her stock was not in the same place.
Exactly.
So, you know,
true. Right.
Yeah, she would be
either
probably
way.
Headlining or one of the night's headliners.
Yeah, either way,
definitely.
She's
winning.
She's
winning.
And then finally, we wanted to do a quick appropriation check-in because there is this beef being
quote unquote
playing itself out online between. Something called a Whoa Vicky and Bad Baby.
We call that a
Bach baby.
Baby, based on the spelling B-H-A-D-B-H-A-B-I-E. But that is Danielle. We're good.
She came to our attention from her appearance on Dr. Phil.
Right. Yes, the Cash Me Outside girl.
Cash Me Outside.
How about that?
Her and a young woman named Whoa Vicky.
Yeah, Whoa Vicky
fighting
is
each other.
Also crazy problematic. She says she's black. The jury is out and has come to
the jury
verdict
is in.
That, well, they've just, oh, wait, hold on. I'm just getting where they've come back. No, you are white.
She's not black.
And this is appropriation, and you are a crazy racist caricature.
Also, there's some 9-year-old named Lil Tay who is talking crazy shit.
Lil Tay?
These two were talking shit to each other, Whoa Vicky and Bad Baby.
Yes.
And like they had like some weird beef. Apparently they caught her outside at the Americana in Glendale, I guess. And they started scrapping. But then there's also like a 9-year-old girl in the entourage called Lil Tay, as you were saying.
Right, Lil Tay.
Who, I mean, her Instagram is insane. She's like, you already know what it is.
You
it's
all.
Your girl, Lil Tay. I'm richer than all you bitches.
Oh,
I'm out here with more cash than you've ever seen.
Always got a money phone.
She's always got a money phone. She's 9 years old.
Nice.
So if she's working, then we need to call CPS because somebody's putting this child to work.
Exactly.
But I don't even know what to say about this. It's crazy to even see young white kids appropriating like rapper beef culture.
Yeah.
And this whole shit, like they were acting like they were tough. It's yes. mind blowing to watch this video.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm disgusted.
Where'd IG rap be? And, yeah. and Cash Mansa, and forgive me, I'm a little behind the eight ball on this story, but like Cash Mansa, she has a rap deal. She can rap.
Yeah, she's got to deal with Atlantic.
Okay. That, yeah. Yes.
Wildly problematic, but like she
but
sounds
hey, some
like
of her
a rapper.
Production solid.
Yeah. Yeah. But well, Vicky isn't aspiring that. She's like an up and coming that.
Presumably.
Presumably. I think so, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. fine. And Lil Tay is.
Lil Tay just came out of the
exists.
Woodwork.
Yeah.
Who is this young girl who like is calling, whoa, Vicky, her sister. It's very confusing.
Track, Lil yeah. Tay is the next Tupac.
Is the next
Lil
Tupac.
Tay, absolutely. Yeah. But what's funny is when you watch them start fighting, you can tell Lil Tay is just a 9-year-old child who is probably not from the streets or any yes. kind of tough situation because she falls away out of frame real quick when the hands start flying. She's like, I'm 9.
I'm still 9.
Yeah. That's the thing that I was saying. Like,
you're not in these streets?
Super producer Sophie Lichterman was like, I was like, isn't she 9? She was like, yeah, where are her parents, right? I was like, no, she's going to get her ass kicked.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
She's
like,
so small.
Her little body, her little 9-year-old body. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Gosh.
Adam, yes. It has been a pleasure having
you, man.
This
is always a treat. I really appreciate you guys having me back on.
Please come
Thank
back.
You so much.
We love
Please
having you. Where can people find you?
Oh, okay. So Twitter at Adam Lustig, Instagram at Adam Lustig. My buddy Billy and I have a podcast every Friday called No Joke. That's at No Joke Pod over on the HeadGum Networks, and that's where I'll be for a little while. Yeah.
Miles.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Hi.
Hey, dude.
Where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter at Jack underscore O'Brien. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
We link off to the information contained in today's episode. That's going to do it for today, Miles. What are we going to write up?
Okay, so, you know, we're still in that vibe. It's still 420 week. And now, this is actually a track from Washed Out. Now, you might know Washed Out from doing the soundtrack to Portlandia.
Okay.
That's like what his hit is, right?
Okay, cool.
Feel It All Around. Now, he, before that, when he was just making beats, like, in the woods of Georgia,
cool.
He had a mixtape called High Times, which is why I'm putting it in the category of high music. And you guys, this was a really dope beat tape he made. It's kind of not like his other stuff, but this is a track called Luck off Washed Out's little mixtape called High Times. Enjoy it. It's just a little two-minute viber, but, you know, guys, relax. And, you know, again, it's only Tuesday. Who knows what we will be talking about? And even in 12 hours. I don't know.
Music will exist in 2 days.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Enjoy that. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.